In the AM with Jay Oliver.
It is now time for the crime report with our man Joe Jesse Sargent, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's current adjunct professor at John Jay College and an author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. Joe, a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the Department Medal of Valor, and the segment sponsored by the Crime Stoppers in Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS. And that's where all calls are kept confidential. And we welcome the Sarge and say a very good morning to Mr. Jackalo. Joseph, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am okay. First, I'm going to ask you how you're feeling. Everything good?
Yeah, we're doing well in the bunker over here. Everything's fine.
Unbelievable. But hopefully, we will get through this. Joe, cases all throughout the department now. You had a lot of officers call out sick. Nobody's immune to this thing. The cops put their lives on the line, as we tell everyone on a daily basis, and certainly not impervious as far as a virus is concerned.
No, and we discussed this last week. If you recall, I said that they had an entire precinct that had a number of cases, and you would say to yourself, if this was in a normal business, you would have shut it down and clean it all out and have the health experts come in, but they didn't do that. Just like I said, they wouldn't do it, and now they're facing some serious number of cases, and including they had the first death of one of the custodians that worked in one police plaza. He had the coronavirus, and he passed away yesterday. So, I mean, if there aren't enough cops to go out to answer radio runs and the like, I mean, these things can cause problems. New York City has a huge number of cops, but in small departments, this could be really devastating.
No doubt. I believe his name was Dennis Dixon, Joe. 14 years. Very sad. Very sad. We send our condolences to that family. But, it was a tough one. Yeah, with Dermot Shea and Alice, this was a tough one.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, this is, unfortunately, or probably the numbers will get worse before they ever get better. The police have to go into, going into people's houses. There are health calls and the like, and you're dealing with it. They have to go to hospitals and deal with most disturbed people or victims of accidents and the like. So they're constantly in the crosshairs. I mean, just think about our medical professionals too, what they must be going through and their families. My gosh, this is something that we've never seen before. I mean, you got the hospital ships coming. You have Jacob Javits turning into a hospital. The numbers are quite staggering. From a perspective of keeping everybody calm and everybody safe is going to be the job of the police, of course. But we have to, everybody's got to keep it together and just make sure you have what you need and don't overdo it and don't panic.
No question about it. Joe Jackal on the crime report. That's really what it's about. You got the ship coming to dock in the city, Joe, on Monday. You got the Javits Center being converted. You got 4 or 5 hospitals being built by the Army Corps, so it's wartime stuff. Everything you read about from way back in the day is actually happening right now in this 21st century. It's almost like I from time to time I kind of close my eyes and I say to myself, am I dreaming? And then you wake up and it's certainly reality. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is when you think about it.
Yeah, and it's quite frightening too, all in the respect that because you don't know when or where you could be exposed to this, and the numbers seem to be surging because I guess the testing is going on. The numbers are climbing every day, and think about in the aspect of just keeping the peace if things really get bad is a problem.
One other story during the week, this was a scary one, Joe. Right out of Middle Island in Suffolk County, retired police officer was shot by Suffolk police. Apparently, he allegedly pointed a rifle at police. It was an hours-long standoff at his home and charged now with menacing a police officer. His name, Christopher Malerba. and he'll be arraigned in mid-April. Quite a scene it was on Bailey Road, Joseph, Wednesday afternoon.
Yes, no, I mean, he was threatening to kill himself and all the things that go with it. It was almost like the provoking suicide by cop kind of thing. This individual, Malerba, he's going to go through some psychiatric testing, of course, with, you know, at the hospital. And the issue that comes down to is that there are so many people out there with, you know, issues with their mental health, and police officers are not immune to it, especially retired ones. It could be PTSD, could be a whole issue of things. But, you know, it's sad to see this. Unfortunately, this happens, you know, quite often, and we saw the number of police officers this year, or even last year, I meant, you know, that have killed themselves. So there's something definitely going awry in the law enforcement community, and they have to figure out how to get the men and women help that desperately need it.
No question. Joe, do we know any details, shots fired, that type of thing? Do we have any information, any more information than what we have?
Well, the police did shoot him. He's been... You know, the issue that comes down to is that, you know, we don't know exactly what the extent is. They haven't really released anything, but we do know that the Suffolk County Police did shoot him. So, it's a terrible story all around, and nobody wants to do this kind of thing, no matter who they are. But you know, let's hope that they can just successfully get this person some help.
Very scary situation. One of the guys at the station lives in and around the area, and they were issued a warning and everything else. Stay inside. Quite a scene it was the other day. Joe Jacklow on the crime report. Here's another crazy one, Joe. An alleged terrorist from Comac, who officials said, I guess, planned to wage a violent jihad, wanted to be released from federal jail in Manhattan, saying he is at a high risk of contracting the coronavirus there. And the institution's lockdown interfering with his right to a fair trial. So we've spoken about this guy way back, Elvis Respacek, contending he should be freed on bail, or at least given a hearing to argue for bail. And you have a lot of these types of situations right now blooming as far as the incarceration of many here.
Yep, that case was around, I think, 2017. So it was a few years ago. But yes, not only are prisoners, you know, demanding to be released, but their advocates are pushing for it too. That with the spread of the coronavirus, I think we even saw somebody in the Nassau County jail die from the coronavirus. So they're going to have to examine exactly what's happening, and if they're going to release people, it's going to have to be a very careful list. And I think that list should be made public, who they're going to release and the reasons why. I think they need to make sure they dot their I's and cross their T's on who they let out that they feel is not a risk, but the fact of the virus is too great inside the prison walls. And yeah, remember, we got our corrections officers that work there too, so we have to take care of them also. Sometimes they are forgotten in this whole struggle about what the virus and social distancing and stuff like that. I mean, the men and women there that work in these jails are just as vulnerable, if not more so, than the average person. So there's a lot of problems that you have to deal with when you have a pandemic like this and you have the prison system. And, you know, listen, we've been releasing people all along, so that has helped, I'm sure. So it's, now maybe make a decision on who else is going to be released. It just might be the prudent thing to do.
Yeah, well, Mr. de Blasio, of all, you know, no surprise, has been very vocal regarding the releasing of prisoners, but in essence, that has been a big topic of conversation. Here's my biggest issue in all of it. If you're going to do that, are you putting these individuals in a quarantine type situation, releasing them out into society? Are sentences coming up where, you know, you figure, okay, let's release them. You know what, let's get the jails cleaned up and everything else. I mean, I want to know what's going to happen post-incarceration to those people, Joe.
Sure. I mean, maybe if they factor on release that they have a place to go to and that they're not going to be out on the street or in the subway or elsewhere. So, I mean, maybe that could be one of the factors that decide on if somebody is going to say, well, I'm going to take this person into my house and you know, we're going to keep him off the streets and we're going to keep him out of trouble. I mean, I'm sure, Jay, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure there's a lot of cases that aren't even being arraigned or prosecuted right now, low-level offenses that people aren't even being turned away before they even, you know, are not even being arrested. So there's a lot of things that are working in here behind the scenes. And, you know, we won't know the extent of this ever. I don't think they're going to keep stats on it, but I'm sure the numbers are going to be extremely high, especially in a place like New York City.
And you can only imagine the backlog of cases now with proceedings kind of being halted in a way. So, you know, you have that to contend with as well. So there's a lot of, you know, moving parts here to the justice system right now, Joe. And, you know, how it turns out, who knows, you know?
Well, I mean, it's come to a grinding halt because they're not taking any new cases in. But think about it. Once, even a week or two, or let's say it goes a month, I mean, could you imagine the sheer number of cases that are in backlog? They're going to have to just cut their losses, so to speak, and figure out what cases they're going to move forward to and which cases they're just going to dismiss. I mean, that's probably the only thing that they're going to be able to do. You're never going to be able to catch up with the amount of cases that need to be heard. You'd have to hire a whole bunch of judges and prosecutors and everybody else and build another courthouse before you can probably catch up with that. And even then, I don't think that's going to happen.
No question. Joe Jackal on the Crime Report. Here's another one, Joe. One of two alleged Latin King members charged with fatally shooting a Plainview man after chasing his SUV to his home with a plea of not guilty to murder charges. That was Wednesday. It was all through a video feed from Nassau's jail to a Mineola court. This is how they're doing it now. So the supervising judge in the case, Therese Corrigan, ordering the 21-year-old Kenneth Reagan of Center Ridge State remanded in custody during an arraignment in which Reagan was not physically present because of precautions all related to the pandemic. The terrible story it was with this Justin Gottlieb. There was a kind of a road rage situation. These two guys followed him home. Kenneth Reagan and what was the name of the other? I'll find it. But anyway, they followed him home, fired a couple of shots, and killed Justin Gottlieb. Right in front of his home. Right in front of his home, Joe. That's a terrible story in Plainview.
Yes, I believe the other guy's name was Douglas Cudry. This is one of those situations where next time, you know, somebody cuts you off, you probably just want to just let it go and just take a deep breath, because here's an example about a, you know, a road rage incident that's gone bad. I mean, these are two bad dudes, and I think they're actually looking at him for another homicide or shooting in Jersey, right? So these are terrible individuals, and they, you know, the police did a good job tracking these guys down and getting them off the street so they can harm anybody else. But once again, Latin Kings, you know, rear their ugly head on Long Island again. So it's just, and you know, this time it's rearing its ugly head in Plainview. And I always said that, Jay, when that spreads out to other communities, I think that's when people will finally kind of stand up and say, like, what's going on here? It's kind of a shame that it didn't get a lot more attention than it deserves from outside of places like Brentwood and Central Islip, because people figure that it's just a Brentwood problem. But now it's creeping in everywhere, and this is what I had warned everybody about. You gotta extract it now. I mean, Jay, we've talked about this ad nauseum about this gang, and you know the law enforcement is doing a great job, but you know they'll never going to eradicate it. You know, whatever they think they're going to do.
No question. You're right regarding the road rage stuff. Just drive on. I tell people all the time, don't honk your horn and everything else. Just go. You know, the incident, the perfect example is what happened to Gottlieb here. Terrible story. Joe Jackal, the Crime Report. Joe, we forgot to mention, you know, we have a couple of legislative leaders in the assembly who have come down with the virus. But the district attorney of Suffolk County, Tim Sini, again, nobody immune here.
No, It's rampaging through everything. I mean, you would expect to see the houses be affected by this greatly. I mean, this is an incident where not only is everybody not immune to this, but no matter what your stature is, we've had, you know, actors and actresses and police chiefs now and attorneys. I mean, it's absolutely frightening. You know, you just kind of cross your fingers every time you have to run to the store to get something. You can only stay away, you know, stay home for so long, and people start to get a little, you know, a little crazy, I guess, so for lack of a better adjective. And then you have to go do something. And people who are, you know, experiencing symptoms, I mean, we ask you to stay home. But it can happen to anybody, anywhere. I mean, listen, it's not over yet. This is not like this. This is behind us. I mean, this is still happening in great numbers. I mean, New York numbers keep on climbing, and listen. Hope is not a plan, but you got to try to do the best you can at this point to try to get stay away from it.
No question. And Joe, with these types of situations involved, as far as look. Income, the scams, we talk about them all the time. You got scams even happening in a coronavirus situation regarding many people getting phone calls, many people being told to go to a website and personal information. You know, we spoke about this earlier in the week. You know, stay away from them. Don't click on anything. We tell our seniors not to click on any of these links, but it's out there right now. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yes, and it's a shame, but, you know, criminals are opportunists, and they're going to take any crisis anytime people might not be thinking carefully about what they're doing, and they might, you know, get somebody. I mean, they send out hundreds and thousands of these emails and text messages, and, you know, the text message one is the real scary one as far as I'm concerned now, because, you know, everybody's got a phone. Even my, you know, 86-year-old dad has got a cell phone like this now, where you could click on links and do this other stuff, so... This is a problem, and, you know, like I said, the only way we could try to keep people from this is educating them and keep on telling them, you know, don't do this or don't do that. But sometimes things, I guess, they're the way they're written or the way they look are just too good to be true, and sometimes people get caught up in it.
Give out personal information, ladies and gentlemen, over the phone. Never. 16 minutes have passed. Joe, another one, a 19-year-old Hempstead woman was found dead in a home last weekend and strangled to death by her boyfriend. So a Nassau police ride on it, a 26-year-old, now charged with second-degree murder, that and the killing of Maria D. Rodriguez Perez at her home on Harriman Avenue. That all happening Saturday night, Joe.
Yes, and it's unfortunate that, you know, most people are victimized by someone they know, so they kind of zoom right in on that significant other right away and then, you know, put it together pretty quickly. You know, it's just a situation where, you know, I feel like you're going to have more domestic violence cases and the like going forward. If more people are hold up with their families and stuff, things would happen. I mean, it's not a symptom, so to speak, of being, you know, locked in your house. I mean, there's probably a long history of this guy with against women, but it has to be a concern for law enforcement, because that's the only kind of crimes that they can't prevent are those intimate crimes.
And this is a guy who was ordered held without bail at his arraignment. Joe, a story we had a couple of weeks ago regarding the Chilean nationals, five of them. Authorities say they're part of an organized crime cell that burglarized homes on Nassau's Gold Coast. Well, they have denied now taking part in that theft ring. So you had that grand jury that recently indicted these guys on burglary and attempted burglary charges, break-ins in the Sands Point area as well as Locust Valley and Glen Cove. So those five Chilean nationals have denied any type of wrongdoing here.
Of course. I mean, you don't expect anybody to go to court and say, I'm guilty and we're going to do this. But, I mean, one of the things that I had looked up, there was a couple of other groups of organized Chilean burglary gangs. They have them in California. They're popping up everywhere. So I think, you know, law enforcement needs to take a little stronger look at this group and just say, like, what's happening? What's going on? I mean, they're expert burglars. They're getting into high-end properties. They're doing this stuff, but it's just not here on Long Island in New York. It's happening elsewhere, too, and I think it's a story that needs to be looked at a national level and find out what's happening.
No question about it. Joseph, well done. You stay healthy, please.
You too.
Crazy times, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
We'll try. Take care.
Bye. All righty. It's the Crime Report brought to you by the Crime Stoppers of Suffolk County. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. And that's where all calls are kept confidential.